want you to grab your Bibles and get 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And then if you can stick your finger in your Bible, if y'all old school and still use pages, then stick your finger in your Bible. But if you're new school and you got the electronic stuff, then just hang in there. So we're going to get two scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. I'm going to ask you, I know y'all been standing for a long time, so you can stay seated. You don't have to stand. It is our custom to stand for the word of God, but, you know, y'all been standing for a while worshiping. I got one amen. Y'all don't care? Stand up then. No, just kidding. All right, let me tell y'all about this message. So I was minding my own business, as I always do. And I had a little bit more time in the car because my children were late for the bus, so I had to drive them to school. And I decided to listen to Pastor Jerry Dierman's message. And when I listened to this message, we are in a series on deliverance called Deliver Me. And when I listened to this message, it cut me deep to my heart. And as it cut me, the Holy Spirit says, this is a part of the reason why people are struggling with deliverance, why they can't come out, because of this. And I was like, oh. Now, last week, I talked to you guys about bondage versus captivity. For those of y'all who were not here or didn't hear the message, don't worry. We offer a free podcast. It doesn't cost you anything. You can go to our website or you can go on the iTunes and go to Rohi Christian Church. You can download it for free. It's a powerful message. It explains the difference between being in bondage and captivity. Bondage is something that happens simply because of who you are and how you were born. So the children of Israel were born into slavery. And so they got into bondage by no fault of their own. They're just the heritage of their family. It's like us. Because we are human, we just are in bondage to sin because of we were born under Adam and we have that sin nature. The only thing that can break bondage is the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus. The way that they came out of Israel was through the blood on the doorpost. So that's the only thing that can break you out. Now, captivity is completely different. The children of Israel got in captivity in the Babylonian Empire because they disobeyed God. They were free. They had a walk with God. They knew God. They loved God. But they disobeyed God. And because of that disobedience, they opened the door for the enemy. They gave place for the enemy in their life. The enemy held them bound. Now, they were not bound like slaves where they couldn't get out. They were in exile. So it was very much like they were growing. They were rising in stature. They had someone who was next to the top official. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Daniel was a leader. So it wasn't that they weren't free. It's just that their sin had them trapped, and they didn't even realize that they were trapped and didn't know how to get out. That's captivity. And so many of us, we've given our life to Jesus Christ. We've been freed from the bondage of sin, but something has us where we keep going back to stuff. Something has us to the point where we keep doing the same stuff over and over again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's that stuff where you're saying, I love God. I don't know why I keep doing this. I love God. I don't know why I keep sleeping around. I love God. I don't know why I keep lying. I love God. I don't know why I can't get my money together. See, some of y'all, that's too harsh because y'all in church. I don't want to talk about sex and all that. We're going to talk about sex today. So if you have a child that can understand, get them out because we're going to talk about it. Or cover their ears or something, Jesus. We're going to have to deal with it. The reason is because there is a bondage that we place ourselves in. We call it captivity because of choices that we are making. It's like this. I described it last week. It's like the enemy places this big bear trap, you know, the ones with the open teeth. And you just happens, the bear steps into it. It grabs, snaps their legs. The rest of the bear is flailing, trying to get out, but they're still trapped. Some of us are still trying to get out of situations and stuff, but we're still trapped. And we, with everything in our might, are trying to get out, but the enemy has a hold on us. That's captivity. So I started saying, how do we get out? We talked about the word of God gets you free from captivity, but it's not just the word of God. It's obedience to the word of God. So I listened to that. I thought about that. And then I heard Pastor Jerry's message from last week, and it hit me that it all starts in one place. Because I was like, how do I help you get out of captivity? How do I help you to obey? What can I do to teach you to obey God's word better? And it was this message. Now, some of y'all are like, I've been trying to obey God for forever. How many of y'all been trying to obey God in some stuff? You ain't got to tell me what it is, but you've been trying to obey God in some stuff, and you still be doing some wrong stuff. You don't even know how you do. It's not like I try to do it. Okay, y'all don't want to raise your hand and be real. All y'all do that. You ain't got to. Look, let's get real. I do it too. So this message is designed to teach you how to obey God. Now, I want you to put a little sugar already and say we have fun in worship because it's going to be a little hard. Can y'all handle that? All right, here we go. If you have your Bible or your electronic devices lifted high in the air, and let's say this affirmation together, because right now what we're going to do is declare in the air that God opens our heart to be able to receive this tough one today. Y'all ready? Because I got to receive it too. It ain't just y'all. Say, this is my Bible. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Come on, can you say that? Say, I open my heart to hear God speak a word that's going to change me forever. All right, you already said your heart's open, so here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 is our focal passage for this series on deliverance. It says this, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. That passage says that he delivered us in the past. That means from sins, from the grips of sins. And he does deliver us. That's a present tense. That means he's working on us right now. And he will deliver us. Come on, hallelujah. Which means he's going to take us up out of this whole mess altogether. So I wanted you to see, and the reason why we keep bringing this up is I want to remind you that deliverance is not a one-time experience, but it is a process that God goes through in our life. Amen? All right. Now, Galatians 5, 16 through 17. Now, this one I want you to read with me. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version, and it's okay if you don't have that version. The words will appear on their screen. I'm so excited, and I'm mindful that I talk faster when I'm excited. So I'm going to try to slow it down because this is good. Y'all ready? Am I talking too fast? The country start coming out real good then. All right. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Let's read together. I say then, y'all see it, it's on the screen. If you don't have it, don't worry. Okay. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things... Oh, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help me to break this word open. Holy Spirit, use me. Come in, teach this word with power and vigor. Bring deliverance in our situations. Lord, give us the how-to. Show us what we need to do to come out of captivity. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. All right, I want you to shout this. Say, eat your way out. The title of my message today is Eat Your Way Out. Yep, that's how you're going to come out of this thing. Some of y'all are like, hallelujah. I've been waiting for somebody to tell me to eat like never before. Well, it's not that kind of a message. Y'all are going to be so mad at me. Eat your way out. Listen, I tell you what, I wish that God would say, Shayna, you can eat whatever you like and lose weight and be healthy. What would you eat? What are some things you eat? She said everything. Cake, brownies, cookies, steak, ribs, chicken, fish. Some of y'all are like, let's go. Sermon over. I'm ready to hit the food source right now. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do that? And here I am telling you, you can eat your way out and bring deliverance. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let me start with this passage in Galatians chapter 5, because he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what's the flesh? A few weeks ago, I told you that we are made in three parts. We are spirit, soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and we are body, our flesh. And so this is talking about our flesh, our physical body. It's not just the physical part, the carnal part of us, but it's also referring to the natural part of our bodies, our natural, that natural piece of you that just does stuff. Your mind is just aware of this world and the priorities of this world and the options of this world. But, you know, your flesh is just not mindful of God. That's your carnal side. You know what I'm saying? That part of you that just naturally does things and wants stuff just because it can. So often in the New Testament, when the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about the side of you that works with your body that likes certain things, that has an appetite for certain things. The part of you that wants things, the part of you that desires things, the part of you that craves things, that craving is not just a physical craving, but it can also be a psychological craving, or it can be an emotional craving. You know, you've fallen in love or in lust, whatever you want to call it, with someone, and it drives you from the inside out. Every part, you know how you just driven to do stupid stuff because you love somebody? That's your flesh. Oh, don't nobody want to agree with that. Y'all gonna leave me hanging today. Oh, I'm gonna bring y'all all in a little bit. But the Bible says, for the flesh, Galatians 5, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. See, every part of you that is against the spirit of God inside of you is your fleshly side. It's the carnal side. And your spirit is against the flesh. Y'all, this is the reason why we jacked up. We got a part of us that's on the inside of us that's fighting the other part on the inside of us. We got a war going on inside of us about us. You wonder why folks in the church crazy. People outside of the church, they don't seem crazy because they don't have that war. There's no Holy Spirit living inside them. So they just cool. They got no conflict going on. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. A light comes on, and every part of the Holy Spirit is not fighting every part of you that's been your natural living being since you were born. It make you crazy. And he says, these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. We as believers inside have these two opposing views. There's a part of us that says, I love the Lord. I want to please the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. God, I want to obey you. But there's another side. Somebody say amen. That wants to please me and wants to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, for how long I want to do it, and with who I want to do it with. Y'all ain't got to give me no amens. I'm just going to preach this for myself. Jesus, if they don't get nothing, I'm sorry, but this is for me. That's your flesh. If you please the flesh, you will not be who you are supposed to be. Now, the English Standard Version of Galatians 5:17 says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. That means all of the things that your flesh wants are absolutely against everything that your spirit wants. They oppose each other. So today, you're saying, what does that have to do with eat your way out? Well, it's a little bit deceiving because eating your way out implies that you can eat more of what you want and come out of captivity. That's not it. Now, watch this. What am I talking to you about? The point of our title is this. The way that you eat can affect your life in many ways besides your health. Now, some of y'all are sitting there like, here she go with another health message. I am not going to, I'm not a nutritionist. There's people out in the audience who know way better how to talk to you about what to eat than I do. So that's not what I'm talking to you about. I'm not going to talk to you about what to eat. Because there's study after study. You can Google stuff just like I can. That ain't the point. But what I want to talk to you about today is the spiritual side. See, I don't know health, but I know the Bible. Everybody got a specialty. Mine is the Bible. Okay? I know what the Bible says. I understand spiritual things. Watch this. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you today about spiritually the principles that are found in the Bible regarding how eating impacts your ability to obey God in every area of your life. Because it really does. Watch this. Some of you have areas in your life that you have not been able to get breakthrough with. And you've been trying to change and do things. And you're going to understand today that by addressing this issue of food in your life and the way that you approach food or the way that you approach gratifying your appetite and your desires or even denying gratification to what your flesh wants will affect every other area of your life. You think you're unrelated, but they really aren't. The subject of food is a big deal. And here's, let me tell you why. When you were born and you first came out, we saw a beautiful baby this morning. Baby first comes out. What's first thing the baby do? They cry. Now, well, they may cry for various reasons. They may cry because, wow, it's light out here. They may cry because, hey, this is different. I wasn't expecting this. There's many reasons that they cry. But in within about 4 to 6 hours, a baby's going to cry for something that every one of us naturally needs, and that's food. But babies only cry for about 3 reasons. It's because they hungry, they tired, or they need to be changed, right? And when a baby cries, what they're saying is, I don't know how to communicate, but I need something. Look, watch this. Even though I can't talk, I'm going to go, wah! And you're going to do one of 3 things. Try to put me to sleep, change me, or what? Feed me. Now, food is a natural part of what we crave. Check this out. When you get hungry, what do? Now, let me help you. Some of y'all have what we call hanger issues. And for those of y'all that don't know what hanger is, it's hungry anger. You get hungry and then you get an attitude with folks. And you just say, I can't help it. I'm just hungry. Just feed me. Some of y'all go from the sweetest people in the world to the most evil folks because you're hungry. Now, no offense, but I love Pastor Jen. She's got to be one of the sweetest people in America. But when she is hungry, she becomes, not very nice. And she'll do this. I heard her on the phone one day. She called her husband about something because she needed help with something. And he calls her back and he tries to talk to her. She said, look, I can't talk to you right now. I got to eat. He was trying to just like, well, let me give you a question. She's like, I said I have to eat. He's like, but I'll take a, I have to eat. And I was like, dang. There are some of us, we get a hungry anger. My son, my youngest son, when he was a lot smaller, my brother and I talk about this all the time, because my younger son, he has hanger really bad. Like, he becomes the Incredible Hulk when he's hungry. Like, I don't know who he is. And my brother used to say, he's so moody. I was like, I know, it's because he's hungry. I said, if he ever go flip out on you, just give him some food. And so my son was like, Uncle Troy, blah, blah. He was just going off. And my brother goes, here, have a banana. He says, oh, Uncle, you're so sweet. You're so nice. He just flips like that. There is something physical that happens to you when you are hungry. You start to crave stuff. Watch this. Adults mask it, and they might sound a little more mature than children, but we start to grumble. We get irritable. You ask them why they're irritable, and they say, because I'm hungry. Wah! They're doing just what a baby do. Wah! Come on, can you do it? What do babies sound like? Say it for me. Nah, see, y'all don't. That's what y'all little sweet babies. When they get hungry, what do they sound like? Wah! Come on, they going after it. Because their body is like, feed me. I will die if I don't eat. Right? Food is so important. And more important to some people than others. Just because we grow up, doesn't mean that we don't have these cravings and these desires for food. And some of y'all need to know not all of y'all are pregnant. We give the people pregnant a little pass. Oh, they just want that because they just desire it because they're pregnant. But some of y'all still eating like y'all pregnant and y'all men. We do this. Things just come in front of us and you just want some of it. You ever get your mind set on some food? Some of y'all right now got your mind set on what you want to eat after church right now. Look, y'all naming it. Come on. And the fact that somebody named something, the rest of y'all are like, that's not a bad idea, right? That food is so interesting. I want to show you how the Bible tells us that the way we address these cravings when they come, what we communicate to our own flesh, our own carnality, will have ripple effects in our ability to be obedient to God and to come out of situations. In some ways, our food choices even become tsunami effects in other parts of our life. See, our society struggles with eating. It's a known fact. Anyone paying any attention to studies do on eating show this. Many of my friends are doctors, and they posted on Facebook that they went to this conference, about 3 of them, which is why I was like, this is very interesting. And they posted that at this conference, someone said that by the year 2045, 100% of all Americans will be obese. 2045, 100% of all Americans will be obese. Why? Because the American culture eats way too much food. It's not just what we eat. It's the volume of what we eat. Y'all, you know, Big Mac got like three sizes now. I don't even know the names of them because we don't go to McDonald's no more. But they's like Big Mac Junior, Big Mac Super, and Big Mac something. I was like, it's still a Big Mac. Why we got to have so many different ones? This one guy says, look, I don't want to brag, but I finished all of my 14-day Nutrisystem diet food in 4 hours. Now, what's interesting to me is when you begin to look at the Bible, the first thing that God talks to about is food. Genesis 2:16, before Adam and Eve ever sinned, I want you to pay attention to what God said. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Do you ever find it interesting that the first thing that God talked to us about that we shouldn't do is food? I never really paid attention to it, but I started thinking about this. There's only one prohibition. You got this whole garden, you got this whole world, all these things you can do, but there's only one thing I need you not to eat of that particular tree. It's a food issue. There's something that happened when it came to eating, something that is tempting about being a human. It's particularly interesting to me that this tree that tempts us is food. It wasn't that he couldn't eat anything, because he could eat of any other tree, but it was just that he couldn't eat of that tree, that fruit. Then the next chapter, Satan comes in Genesis 3, and the Bible says in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Now check this out. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's starting with, look, has God really said you can't have that? We're talking about food again. And here's what she says. And the woman said, well, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. So in other words, we can eat of all these other trees, but not just that one. She adds stuff. She said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. She added, shall you touch, you can't touch it. Now, even if she'd have followed that advice, she'd have been all right. But no. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. See, that's Satan's big deception. Whatever God says in the Bible, Satan will come along and say, that's not going to really happen to you. What a lie. Come on, I want you to think about it. The Bible says, do not have sex outside of marriage. Satan, if you do, you know, you're going to break fellowship with God. And all. And Satan's like, that's not going to really happen. So you're like, do it one time and nothing happens. And you go, see, me and God are still cool. My life's still together. I ain't had no babies. I ain't got no diseases. I should do that again. Because watch this. Satan was right. Now, we won't call him Satan. But we'll say, he's right. Nothing happened to me. What a lie. The Bible is absolutely true. It happens every time, and people are deceived by the millions this way. So Genesis 3, 5 through 6. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, check this out, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, everybody say food. She saw that the tree was good for what? Her focus was on the fact that this is a food. Her focus was not on the fact that if I eat this, I'm going to lose fellowship with God, that I'm going to disobey God. Her focus was on the food. Ain't nobody getting excited? I'm excited. I'm trying to hold it. She said, it says that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of it fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. At that point, when he ate and she ate, when they ate something they were not supposed to eat, sin came in. Check this out. They ate something they were not supposed to eat. Sin comes in. Sickness comes in. Disease comes in. Shame comes in. Depression comes in. Anxiety comes in. Bondages come in. Addictions come in. Destroyed relationship comes in. And how did they come in? Through their mouth, when they ate something they weren't supposed to eat. In fact, after this, they had two sons, and one son killed the other son. Families are being destroyed. Why? Because of what I ate. Y'all are saying, Pastor, this makes no sense to me. Just hang in there. Do you see the connection in Scripture? It's here. Brokenness begins to happen. How did it happen? Yes, it is because they disobeyed God. But it's interesting that they disobeyed God by eating something that they should not have eaten. There is a biblical truth that's in this That not just that you need to obey God, that's true in every area, but you should obey God because God will bless you for obedience. I get that. But also at the most basic fundamental level of our decisions are these cravings in us. And they begin with our cravings to what we're going to eat daily. They start there. If you keep gratifying your flesh and letting your flesh do whatever it wants to do at the eating level, your flesh will lead you to do things that are not pleasing to the Lord and are not beneficial to you in other levels. Our flesh don't care. Our flesh is dumb. Our flesh will do things that would destroy our life. Our flesh will do things that will destroy our marriages, that will destroy our ministries, that will destroy our reputations, our confidence, our joy. If we let our flesh do whatever it wants to do, we're going to end up jacked up. Some people say, well, you just need to be true to yourself. Well, that's true. But the question is, which self are we talking about? Just be yourself. Which self? Because when I get saved, I got two selves going on. Are you talking about the born again self on the inside of me that loves God, that wants to serve God? The one that because I've been following God has brought blessings into my life. It's brought a beautiful relationship that's brought me wonderful children. It has brought about an opportunity to touch so many people's lives through ministry. Is that the self you're talking about? Or are you talking about the other self that's dumb? The one that wants to do things that will completely destroy other people and overlook people and belittle other people and put other people down and to let them know that they are of no value or priority to me because I just want to eat something or do something with them right now. Which self we talking about? See, I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about cravings of the flesh. We train our flesh as to who is really in charge. Is God in charge of our lives? Or is carnality, the cravings, the appetites, the lust, are those basic needs in charge? Because if that's in charge of our lives, you are headed for a regretful, miserable life. But if you can address this issue beginning at the food level. Now, it doesn't seem so consequential because for the most part, it's just a piece of cake for right now. But as we can see from Adam and Eve, it's tied to things that are absolutely consequential. The very first prohibition was about eating something. The very first sin was about eating something. And I want to tell you, Jesus' first real test was about food. Y'all, this is so real. And we just in here like, la, 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 food don't matter. No, it does. Jesus fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And when he got done fasting, the first thing Satan does is say, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. What's the first thing? Satan doesn't start off with power. Satan doesn't start off with influence. Satan doesn't start off with a worship issue. Satan starts off with your food issue. It's about food. Jesus even had to deal with the very first temptation dealing with food. What is that telling you? Satan wants to hit you where you're most vulnerable, where you have been compromising all your life, and it's at the food level. Because if he can get you into the habit and into a pattern of just doing whatever and eating whatever your flesh wants, then he can try to use that pattern in other areas of your life. Oh. He can take that habit where you just say, okay, in other areas, thank God Jesus didn't succumb to that. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted, yet he was without sin. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 says, so we know that he had cravings. The Bible says he hadn't eaten. If you ain't ate for 40 days and 40 nights, you got some cravings. Even the stones look good 40 days and 40 nights later. The very first thing the devil does is try to get him to do a miracle and to turn the stones into bread. But Jesus saw right through that. Jesus' response to that was Matthew 4:4. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Now some of y'all are like, yep, because I need steak and chicken. And so bread alone ain't going to cut it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm not going to live just by what I eat. But I'm going to live, watch this, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, yes, I have an urge right now to eat. I'd like to prove myself that I am the Son of God to you too. But here's how I'm going to do it. I was tempted, but the Bible says, now this is what Adam and Eve should have said. They should have said, but the word of God says. The serpent said, you're not going to die. They should have responded with, well, but God said, I will surely die, so therefore I'm not going to eat. See, Jesus had an urge, and he responded with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm going to stick with what God said I'm supposed to do. Now, notice the first temptation is about eating. So, the way we deal with our eating sets the course for how we deal with everything else that our flesh craves. Check this out. I'm going to show you this, and this is where it gets a little touchy. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Y'all hanging in there with me? This is not making sense. It's about to make real sense right here. 1 Corinthians 6:12-13 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Some of y'all ought to just say hallelujah right there. It's not that you can't have cake. It's just that you can't have cake all the time. It's not helpful. Y'all, it's not that God is saying, I want you to live the rest of your life where you eat nothing but spinach and kale drinks for the rest of your life. God put all this food for us to enjoy. But it's that he doesn't want those things to control you. Okay, now watch this. He said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let me say that again. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So look, the problem with the food is that the food puts me under the control and the power of the food. Okay, tell me what you're talking about. You ever been driving down the road? I got a meeting I got to go to, and you see a sign for some Popeyes or something on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, now you got to get to your meeting, but Popeyes is calling you. And because the sign is there, you know the exit is just right off the freeway because they only put the signs up where the exits are. Y'all know that, right? So they drive it and you go, ooh, if I just run and get me some Popeyes. Now you got a meeting you running late for, but you say, I just need some chicken. Nobody ever did this? And you veer, no, you've never dude, is it just me? You just veer off to go get something that you just crave for. Come on, somebody. And then now you late for your meeting, running late, got chicken grease running all down the side of your mouth, fingers all messed up, car got, you know, Popeye's sprawled all in it. Because, see, one of the things that y'all don't know that I can do well is I can eat Popeye's chicken with the mashed potatoes and gravy while I'm driving a stick shift. It's a gift from God. It's a total gift from God. But see, what happens is that sign, that food had a power over me. And Paul said, all things, it's not that I can't have that fried chicken at some point, but he says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, verse 13, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. That means you're supposed to have food to eat, but God is going to destroy all that. He said, but God will destroy both it and them. Food and the stomach are going to get destroyed. You're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? It would be interesting if Paul stopped there, but he continued the sentence and he says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Hold up. You was talking about food. Do y'all not see there's no break, there's no chapter break, there's no new start. It's the same verse. He said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Then he says, now the body is not for sexual immorality. Why in the world did Paul make this connection? Because the way that we control our eating will show up in the way we control other stuff. Oh, Jesus. Watch this. I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, if you don't start telling your flesh side, listen to me. Shut up. I can't eat that. And getting it in check, your flesh is not going to get used to you saying no to it. Let me help y'all. How many of y'all got kids? How many of y'all seen kids? All right, good. Got kids, seen kids. One thing about kids is if you tell them no, the first time you tell them no, they're going to keep trying you. I don't care if you're their mama. I don't care if you're a friend on the street. You tell them no, and I tell kids on the street doing wrong, stop that. Now, and then, you know, you kind of ask yourself the question, why would they listen to me? They don't know me. Then I shoot them a look. Stop that. They parents be all off. Because, you know, I feel like parents, you know, you got so much on your hand. Let me just help you with this one. That's my viewpoint. It's just, it's like, I know you're at the grocery store. I know it's hard. I know I've been there. So let me just help you by telling your child, stop it. Now, what's wrong is a friend of mine, there was a kid, he had just bought some brand new shoes, and this kid was about 4 or 5 years old, was walking around, and he just started, you know, stepping on everybody's toes, like he was trying to be funny. And the mama was just like, nah, nah, nah. Like, I'm pretty sure she would have stopped it if she saw it. I'm hoping she would have, but maybe she didn't. And my friend decides, instead of being an adult and telling the child to stop it, I'm just going to step on the child's feet too. So he steps on the child's foot, and the child's like, ah! And the child runs, and they stop. Watch this. When your flesh is like a child, you can tell it no. Watch this. You tell it no the first time, it's going to have an attitude. It's going to buck. It's going to cry. It's going to get even madder and louder. You tell it no again. But once you teach it, when I say no, I mean no, then your body, watch this, will stop crying over the stuff. But your body, if you cannot teach it to say no to a basic craving like food, when it comes to sexual immorality, it's going to struggle. Because it ain't used to hearing you say no. Okay, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Look, I tell my kids, don't do this at home. But when they get out in the street, if they run on the street and I yell no, if I've never told them not to do that again, because they've heard me say no at home about other stuff, they don't run out in the street. Come on, your flesh, you got to start teaching it to say no. And you're going to have to check it with what you're eating at the very basic level. Because if you can start saying no to it there, then you can start saying no to Tyrone. You can start saying no to Lion. You can start saying no to Macy's. You can start, come on, y'all. Y'all don't understand. Because see, y'all laughed at the Popeye's chicken. But what happens when you window shop at Macy's? You ain't got no money. And you just see this outfit. Look, you ain't used to telling your flesh no, so you just go and get the outfit. And then you come home. Why did I buy that? And then we don't have the sense enough to take it back. We buy stuff we know we ain't gonna wear no, but just in case one day when I go on a cruise at some point, I'm gonna need an outfit like that. 10 years go by, it still got the tag on it in your closet. But see that you couldn't tell your flesh no. I don't know how to say no. Okay, I'm talking about Macy's brothers, sisters who like technology, the brand new phones. The baby said it. Y'all don't even know how to say no. New iPhone come out. Some of y'all will sit in line all night long waiting on that phone to come out. I'm just saying it's just another generation. You can get the OS and get the same benefits, most of the benefits of the phone. The 7 and the 6 iPhone ain't that different. But you know what? I gotta have it. And since I don't know how to say no there, come on, somebody. I'm saying yes to everything. If you don't get this under control, you're telling your fleshly side that I will listen to you. You will destroy me. You will destroy my health. You will destroy my relationships. You'll destroy my reputation. You'll destroy my credibility. My confidence will go down the drain, and I will be depressed and discouraged because I will know that I made these wrong decisions and these consequences are completely overwhelming. You need to tell your flesh, I cannot listen to you. Because if you press into that realm, eventually the judgments of God are going to catch up to you. Let me talk to this about this issue now. Y'all said talking about sex. I'm going to talk to you about the issue of, now, I'm going to say this word once, so because those of y'all who be in church holy freaking out, just I'm going to say it once. I'm going to talk to you about masturbation. Oh, she said it. Yes, I did. We don't talk about it every Sunday for our visitors. But I want to talk about this issue because it's not just sex with another person that's immoral. It's solo sex. Like food, this is something that your body has an urge for and a craving for. But I think everybody can agree with this. If you train your body that every time you have an urge to let it be gratified, then you're going to have problems. So what do you think teenagers go through? They got these raging hormones. They come on strong, and they have this habit of doing this. And every time they have an urge, that urge gets gratified. And now you take that teenager and you put them on a date. There's nobody there in the car with them. By the way, you shouldn't be one-on-one in the car if you're a teen with nobody. Nobody said amen, but I'm going to teach you. You get them one-on-one in a house. Look, I'm so used to gratifying these urges. Watch this. That I haven't taught myself to say no to that appetite. So now when I get with somebody, I'm pushing it way further than it needs to be. No matter how many times they say no, because that urge is kicking it. Y'all don't want to talk to me. All right, any of y'all, about two of y'all teenagers. Y'all teenagers get that. What about if you married? Just because you married don't mean the urges stop. Don't nobody married want to say amen. This is some freeing stuff right here. Right? You're alone. You are wherever you are, you have these urges. It's not that you are with someone you're married to. You're by yourself. But what happens now is you're draining when you're by yourself and you're having solo sex and you're married, is you're draining the sexual passion out of your relationship. It's affecting your partner. And it goes even further if in your mind you ain't even with you. You with somebody else. See, anybody got to say amen? You fantasizing. Jesus taught us that if you have done it in your heart, then you've already done it already. Now, that don't mean go out and do it. That's another stage. But in your heart, if you're already doing these things, you're compromising your marriage. And at the same time, draining away from the passion for your spouse. Just like with foods. That's why Paul put that in there. He's like, you do the same thing with food. If you let your flesh eat the way it wants to eat, whenever and however it wants, we get into the habit of just gratifying the flesh. And it likes that a lot. Let me say this. What else happens? Let me show you something about how the Bible, Isaiah 7:14. This is how you can see this working together. We're going to close on 2 points. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied about Jesus coming, a popular prophecy. But we stop the prophecy and we don't continue it. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that's where we stop. But again, it goes on in verse 15. And it says, curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. It's interesting that in this same prophecy that prophesies that a savior is going to be born of a virgin woman, it continues to prophesy and say he will eat curds, word like cheese, curds and honey as a young boy. And because he is learning how to eat what's right, watch this, he's going to learn to choose the good and reject the evil. Jesus learned how to reject Satan because as a child he was controlled in what he ate. That's what that passage, y'all don't think I'm like, can we read it? It's on screen. Y'all want to read it with me? Can we read it together? Because y'all looking at me like I ain't never seen this before. Let's read it together. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Watching what Jesus ate helped him to know how to refuse what was evil and choose what's good. I know it's convicting, y'all. I eat. Look. I'm going to stop saying I like cake so much because I'm going to teach my mouth to say other stuff. I like strawberries. See, look, you cannot follow your flesh and follow God at the same time. Your flesh is about self. It's about the now. It's about gratification. The spirit can invoke delayed gratification. Your spirit side of you says, I've got some priorities that are so much more important than this craving that I have right now. Yes, I can just do this right now, whether it's food, whether it's shoes, whether it's technology, whether it's an attraction, whether it's flirting with someone. Yes, I can do that. I have that urge. But my spirit person is saying, look, if I listen to my flesh, something's going to die in my life. I can't do that. I can't do that. Let me show you something else that happens. So not choosing what you eat, you can very clearly say through scripture, help Jesus to choose what was right. Just like you choosing what to eat is right is going to help you. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, you messing with all my food choices. I'm really not. I'm trying to show you how to eat your way out. If you follow God and say no to your flesh, then you're going to start saying no to your flesh in some other places and be obedient to him in those areas too. And some of y'all are like, well, I eat really good. This doesn't apply to me. Then pick an area where your flesh is out of control and start saying no to it. All y'all size 2s who don't have no eating problems, good for you. eating. Some of y'all make good choices eating. That's great. But what about your financial choices? Do you need to tell your flesh no there too? What about Tyrone? Or Susie? Whichever. Gotta start telling them no. Watch this. What happens when your flesh doesn't get what it wants? You start to mumble and complain, don't you? Look at Numbers. I want to show you this. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. And here's the interesting part. The children of Israel were just fine. They was minding their own business. They were hungry. God sent them manna from on high. They was getting this angel food every day. They was fine. But the problem is because the world they lived in, watch this, like the world we live in, started injecting something into them. You got to watch what you're seeing and what you're hearing. That's why you can't let the billboard screw you up. See, it says, now the mixed multitude, that means the foreign folks who were living with them, who were among them, they started wanting meat. The foreigners was like, we want meat. Now watch this. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to what? Intense craving. This was started over a food issue. They was like, hungry. We want meat. So watch this. So since the foreigners started saying that, the children of Israel also wept again and said, well, who's going to give us meat to eat? Wah. I want meat too. Matter of fact, when I was in Egypt, I had all the meat I could eat. Yeah, because you was a slave, and it was called welfare. They gave you what you was eating. Right, but watch this. My spirit, my flesh doesn't seem to remember that I was in bondage. All my flesh can remember at that moment is I want meat. Y'all ever had that? Your in your mind, you know you shouldn't be doing it. You know you can't have. But at that moment, your flesh is rationalizing every particular reason why you should be doing what you're doing, having what you're having, and being who you're being with. Who will give us meat to eat? Check this out. They started grumbling and complaining. Let me tell you, a sure sign that your flesh is out of control is when you start complaining. I ain't just talking about food. In marriages, when you start complaining, your flesh out of control. You ought to just fast for it. Matter of fact, let me help some of you, and because I'm gonna help y'all with this. If you want to teach your flesh to say no, Christians, we need to have a regular discipline of fasting and praying. Ain't nobody said amen. Okay. Let me help. Why? One day a week. Every week, Pastor? See, some of us, we fast 21 days at the beginning of the year, and we say, hallelujah, look at us, I did great. And now, check this out. During those 21 days, you conquering the world. You are being obedient to God. You reading your Bible. You praying. You showing up. You laying hands on people. Stuff is just happening. Because why? Because you've been telling your flesh no for 21 days. Round about day 25, you still got a little bit of that residue of telling your flesh no. But see, what happens with most of us, day 22, is we gorge on everything we said no to for 21 days. So our flesh just won again. Now watch this. And then all of a sudden, all that willpower and all that power and all that stuff we was having and attacking and doing, y'all was getting up early during a 21-day fast. You don't get up early no more. Ain't nobody got to say amen. I know I'm telling the truth. Not the truth, the truth. Watch this. If you have a regular discipline of fasting, you're regularly teaching your body to say no. And you're disciplining yourself, which will then make it easier for you to tell yourself no in other areas. How do I do that? You can choose how you want to do it. Pick one day a week. We should be fasting one day a week every week, at least. Now, if you have health reasons and you can't do that, then I understand that. But at some point, you got to start telling yourself no. I'm a big deal this. The Bible says that when God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, he told them, he says, I'm going to destroy your enemies before you, but I'm going to do it little by little. Because if you take them all out at once, you ain't going to be able to handle it. You can't handle all the land. You can't handle all the beasts. You're going to be stressed out. So I'm going to help y'all because I don't want y'all going out being like, okay, that's it. Everything's gone. Just little by little. Maybe your little by little is a one day a week fast. And you can start by saying, I just won't eat breakfast, or I won't eat until dinner time, or I'll go from dinner to dinner. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to die if you don't eat for 24 hours.
Pastor, you don't know.
Hanger may kick in. Now, when hanger kicks in, tell your flesh, look, you can't be acting crazy. Some of y'all fast and y'all be nasty. You can't fast and be nasty and mean. That kind of defeats the point of the fast. You letting flesh win again. So, okay, so fast, and you can do 24 hours, you can do 12, you can do six, whatever you want to do. But tell yourself no. How do I get out of captivity? I start telling myself no, and I start eating properly, and I eat my way out. I start eating what God wants me to eat, and I eat my way out. You're going to have to do it. Now, come on, stand to your feet, because I'm done. Some of y'all feel like you done got cut so deep, you never want to show back up at this church again. Let me tell you something. I see this in my life. That's why I said this was so powerful for me when I heard it from Pastor Jerry. It was so powerful because I notice that when I'm meal prepping and eating well and doing what I'm supposed to do, it's almost like serving God feels like it's easy. It just feels good, right? And I notice when I start eating every fast food, because I do have... And it's for me, it's like a week on, a week off, a week on, a week off. I hate that. Then I tell myself, well, at least it's better than I used to be. Just start somewhere. Whatever your somewhere is. You know, tell yourself, no, I'm not going to have that extra Starbucks coffee today. Whatever you sense the Lord telling you to do. Because I want to tell you, there is a deep connection between your choices of what you're putting in your body to eat and saying no to your flesh. And being able to say no to your flesh and many other things. So how many of y'all are saying, like, you know what, Pastor? Yep, that's me. I need to make some changes. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. You don't have to tell anybody what it is. You don't have to confess it. I don't know. Just lift your hands. Father, right now, I pray for every person with their hand lifted. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to eat our way out of these things. Help us to eat our way out of captivity. We command our flesh that we are not going to allow our flesh to control our lives any longer. Lord, I release over us, Father God, the ability to say no to our flesh, the ability, Father God, to say yes to you. Now I want you to repeat after me, those of you with your hands up. Say, Father God, I hear you speaking to me. You're helping me. You're trying to bless me. You're trying to advance me, promote me, restore me. Deliver me. And I hear you speaking today. Now I want you to talk to your flesh. Say, flesh, you have done much damage. Always wanting to be pleased. Getting cranky, complaining, becoming irritable until you get your way. Now say this with an attitude. But I'm telling you right now, you are not in charge. I serve Jesus. He is delivering me. I don't serve you, flesh. I'm speaking to you now. Your days of dominating me are over. I'm following Jesus. I will get and have the promises of God. My calling, my reputation, my testimony will come to pass according to the word of God. Now, Father God, by the Holy Spirit, help me to be the person that you have called me to be. Holy Spirit, I'm saying yes to you and no to my flesh. And I'm doing it in Jesus' name. Now come on, everybody, begin to say hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Baby steps. What do I want you to do with this message? Just Holy Spirit, speak to us. What's our next step? Each and every day, tell God you're going to choose him over your flesh. Let it start with your next meal. I know y'all hungry right now. I do. Your cravings are kicking in. Somebody said in and out, whatever. I don't know. In and out's hard to make good choices. But can you make a better choice just today? People laughing already. Nope. See, you got to tell your flesh, no flesh, shut up. We shall have some green stuff. And not just green sour apple taffy. We shall have green. What am I saying to you? Make a choice. Little by little. You don't have to do it all and fix it all right now. Just make something little. Make a choice to fast and pray. Just this week, pick a day and just say, I'm just going to start this week. Maybe I don't do it every day for the rest of my life, but I'm just going to start this week. I'm just going to not eat breakfast, and I'm going to tell my body no. And when that rumbling comes, just remind yourself, no, 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 no. Because if I check this, then I'm going to check somewhere else, and I'm going to be out. I'm going to be free. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, our prayer team is going to come up. You can come and talk to them and say, you want to come on up now, prayer team. You can talk to them and say, I want to give my life to Jesus, or I just need prayer. Man, this hit me and I need somebody to talk to. They're here for you. May God bless you and keep you. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, in Jesus' name, look.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.